Brie Benfell, actress, model, and founder of Brie Fit and a mother to a baby girl, Theodora.
And I'm Sharon Wong, founder and CEO of Mother's Work and a mother to three young adults, Alexandra, Nicola, and Timothy. We're very excited to share with you our podcast, The Making of Motherhood, coming live from Singapore.
We are two mummies wanting to share the dirty truths about motherhood, honest, hilarious truths of being a mummy. We cry, we laugh, and we break down, and wouldn't have it any other way. So grab that coffee, tea, or glass of wine with no guilt, and come listen to the Making of Motherhood podcast,
where we talk to celebrity mums, guest mums and dads, and experts for the best tips and advice.
Giggle with us as we talk about the things no one else will. Listen to the Making of Motherhood on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. My mum hack today is to, if you can, get a UV sterilizer. When Thea was born, we were boiling water and doing it the old school way. And then I went to Mother's Work.
Thank you.
And got the UV sterilizer. It's big and you can put so many things in it, whether if it's her toy, her pacifier, the bottles. Just made my life a lot easier. And I'm super happy with that. So thanks. I suppose you, Sharon, thanks.
Surprise, surprise, my mum hack today is actually a product. A product that we all have, but always ask the question, do we need it? Do we need a stroller? Yes, absolutely, you need a stroller. The stroller was created precisely for parents, especially mums, to be the mother they want to be. They can have the baby with them wherever they go, whether they're just running errands or going out for dinner and they want the baby with them. The baby is secure in the stroller. Baby can fall asleep, baby can wake up and look around and see the world. And the stroller is actually mum's best helper. Yes, my mum hack is you should always have a stroller. Invest in a stroller. This is one of the top 9 must-have that Mother's Work recommends, and definitely in the top 3, a stroller. Pick a stroller that fits your lifestyle.
Today's guest is Fran from Physio Down Under. She is from Canada and has been in Singapore for a year and a half. Fran is a women's health physiotherapist. I went to her after my birth and she has helped me with sex after birth, getting back to working out, teaching me about pelvic floor and checking my ab separation. I hope this podcast reaches as many people as possible because in my opinion, this is vital for all women. Welcome to the Making of Motherhood podcast, Fran. I have so many questions for you.
Thanks for inviting me. It's great to be here.
So nice to meet you, Fran. I heard so much about you.
Oh, I tell everyone about you. And I tell everyone, go to Physio Down Under. Have you checked? Have you had your pelvic floor checked? Have you had your ab separation checked?
So would you like to tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. So I was born and raised in Vancouver. I was always super outdoorsy, playing a lot of sports. After I finished a degree in evolutionary genetics, I decided that I wanted to do something a little different. And I fell into a role, a research lab in pelvic floor. And I was like, oh, I really like this. It's really cool. And I'd seen a lot of physios in the past for sports-related injuries, always been a little bit interested in it. And then once I found the pelvic floor job, I was like, well, let's go do my master's. So I went and did my master's,
wow.
Worked in Canada for a little bit, did some postgraduate studies, and then went over to the UK. And I worked in London for 4 years before adventuring over to Singapore.
Amazing.
So how long have you been in Singapore now?
Only about a year and a half. So I got 3 months of non-COVID, which
that was nice.
Yeah,
that's not very long.
It's okay. More things to come, right?
That's right.
So Fran, I mean, so we're talking about everything pelvic floor today, right?
Yeah, and just everything you touch base on. I think the number one question I did ask you this before, of what people get asked, like, why didn't anybody tell me to do this? There's so many people I know who have not had their pelvic floor checked. I mean, even my mum, who's now 70, I know she has severe ab separation because she has a dome when she does a sit-up. And that's because I don't even know if they did that back when.
So why is it important to check your pelvic floor before pregnancy or before trying to get pregnant, I guess?
So I think it's completely the woman's decision. I think if there's any sort of symptoms of any problems with the pelvic floor, such as leaking urine or not being able to control your front or back passage, any problems with sex, any feelings of heaviness, maybe even pain around your pelvis or your abdomen, then absolutely go in and get checked. If you're planning on getting pregnant and you have the time to go and get checked, we'd highly recommend it because it gives us an idea of what's going on with your body. It gives us a bit of a baseline measurement so that we know what it's like when you're not pregnant and not after having the baby. But we can also help you figure out your own body. So we can help you figure out, how do you activate those pelvic floor muscles? Where are they? How do you fully relax them? And that's going to come really, really important later on in the pregnancy and also around delivery time, when you actually need to learn to relax those muscles, but also when you need to learn to strengthen them as well.
Do you find all the women you see can do their pelvic floor exercise as well? Or, you know, what's the percentage of are they doing it right? Because I think people don't know. You can't see the muscle. You can't. But when you're going even to a Pilates class, they're telling you what to do. But you're like, I hope I'm doing this right.
Yeah, so I would say about a third of women I see probably do it the opposite of what we would be expecting. And part of that is a lack of awareness around women's bodies. I think that's really big. It's getting better. But I think, you know, as girls, we're not really taught too much, or I wasn't. And I think another part of it is obviously, like you said, not being able to see the parts. We in the clinic will use different tools to help you visualize what's going on. There's other ways you can also check as well. So using a finger inside the vagina, if you're comfortable, make sure it's clean. Or putting a finger on the outside on your perineum, the skin between your vagina and your anus. Those are both ways that you can actually feel movement down there. And when you activate your pelvic floor, you should feel a bit of a squeeze, and you should feel a little bit of a lift of that perineum or of the inside up towards your head. And if you're feeling instead something bulging downwards, or maybe you're not feeling anything at all, that might be a sign that, hey, maybe go see a pelvic health specialist or a physio.
Yeah. Did you check your
pelvic floor? No, I didn't even know. I mean, no one mentioned anything until I was pregnant, and my gynae says, just make sure you exercise. And I'm like, how do you exercise? And so, you know, she told me a little bit about that. But actually, after childbirth, I noticed that every time I sneeze, I would leak. So if I know I'm going to sneeze, I'm fine, right? Because you're controlling.
Yeah.
It's that sudden cough or the sudden sneeze, and you feel like a drop. And that's when I'm like, what on earth is that? My pelvic floor. I apparently didn't do enough homework. And so I was worried that after the first pregnancy, oh, did I miss the window? But apparently not, because you can always strengthen it later. So then second pregnancy and third pregnancy, I was very diligent. But I still feel that after three kids and 20 years later, my youngest is 20, I still feel the occasional moment where there's a sudden cough that I would leak, and I don't know how to fix it.
So I think, you know, with every woman, we go through these life stages, right? So we're a young girl, and then we hit our preteen years and we change. And then we go through puberty and we change. And then we're getting ready to have a baby. And then we get pregnant and we change. And then we have our postpartum period and we change. And then we hit the menopause and we change. And all of these things are happening within our bodies as well as on the outside. So you're seeing some changes on the outside. Maybe when you get a little bit older, things are sagging. When you're a young girl, you know, things are blossoming.
Things are sagging.
You know, and this is completely natural. And I think as a woman, we're seeing it. And what you're saying is you're kind of seeing those changes. You're seeing things change throughout your life. And where we are now is not going to be where we are in 10 years. And I think the best time to start any sort of pelvic floor work, or any time to see a pelvic health physio, is anytime. So whenever you are ready to, and whenever you feel like you're ready to, whether or not you've been having symptoms, you know, of leaking for 10 years or 10 days, I think it's important for you to go and have it looked at. But remember that you have to be ready for that as well. So
yeah,
if you're, you know, in that state where you're like, oh, I'll just manage, it's okay. You want to be ready to do a little bit of work when you come and see us.
So every country is different, but here, you just have a 6 weeks checkup after giving birth. And that was very casual. Yep, stitches are, they're perfect, everything's healed. You're great. That was kind of it. And I only went to you because lots of friends said, go do it. Every country is different. I've learnt, I think, from you, I can't remember. In France, you have to go do it.
Yeah.
Do what?
go get your pelvic floor checked.
After birth.
After birth, right?
Yeah, so on the public system in France, as far as I'm aware, I think it's something like 8 or 10 sessions that you get with a pelvic health physio. And it's a very sort of preventative way of looking at health rather than kind of waiting for something to happen and then dealing with it. It's kind of saying, let's put everybody who's had a baby through a little bit of pelvic floor rehab and hopefully then they'll stop coming back in our system, you know, later on in life. Every country is really different. I mean, some countries, their six-week check is done by, you know, someone who basically says, how are you feeling? And then sends them off as well. So here, at least we have a little bit more, I think, and people will refer. I think six-week checks, if I could make them mandatory in terms of a six-week physio check, I would.
Why do you think that is necessarily the case? If, I mean, are we all not the same? Do you really need to have a six-week pelvic floor check if you're not leaking, if you've been doing your Kegel exercises during pregnancy? And this is news to me that in France, they relate this to women's health moving forward after birth. Why is that?
I think a lot of women don't know that they have
Well, like
that.
Me, I'm sitting here right now people, and I've had 3 kids.
Yeah, some people just think, you know what, I've had a baby, I'm fine. And really, they probably don't even have enough time to think, am I okay? Especially the ab separation, that's important to me because I work out and I'm very aware of it. Lots of people don't even know about it. And
so
then they suffer from extreme ab separation, but they don't even know. Anyways, I'll let you take over because you see
No, so how do you know if you have problems? You don't have, because obviously we're not going because, first of all, we're not aware. We're just told to do Kegel exercises so that it'll strengthen your pelvic floor later. It won't be loose, right, after a vaginal birth. But maybe this is not representative because, like I said, I haven't been to a gynae for quite a long time. I don't know whether it is a current thing because during my time it wasn't. So then I hear about all this from Bree, but then Bree came to you after she realized something was not quite right, right? It's not through your regular routine after birth.
No, I went because I wanted to check my ab separation.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I don't even think I tried to have sex because I waited. I can't even remember. But I was nervous then. I came to see you a couple times. And actually, it was nice. I think you were like the first person to really, truly ask how I was. So I started crying, had a major breakdown. I think you're my physiotherapist and my therapist at the moment. But that was why I first went to you, because that's really important to me. And then I learned that I shouldn't be running. It was weaker than it once was. And we did exercises. And it was nice to gradually see through the ultrasound that it was getting stronger. But anyways, back to Frank, take over.
I think I'm biased, obviously, because of the job that I do. I think everyone, if possible, should have a six-week check. And whether or not that's a full pelvic floor check is completely up to them. But kind of just allowing yourself to talk through some questions that you might have about your changing body postpartum is not something oftentimes the doctors have time for. And so coming to see us, at least you can ask those questions to us, all of these things that you're telling me about at the beginning, kind of like, why didn't anyone tell me this? We can go through that with you. And the times are changing. If you look back 100 years, we weren't, you know, as old as we are now. You know, we've been dying around 50. So we didn't really have much research into that postpartum period. It was kind of like, okay, look, you're going to have your babies and then you're probably going to die 10 years after. So that sounds really morbid, but, you know, our research didn't look at that postpartum period as a thing. It was kind of like, this is normal. You're leaking. That's a woman's thing. You have back pain. That's fine. You have 3 kids. Makes sense. And you were dismissed.
Yeah.
Now science is starting to change, which is great. And we're starting to put a lot more emphasis on how the woman is not just a small man. The woman is actually a completely different being. We have different hormones. We have different body shapes. We go through different life stages. And so we cannot just use the research we use for men as research for women. And I think that is putting a lot more awareness out there with not only healthcare professionals, but also with the general public when it is published publicly, like on Instagram, for example, about things that can be done to help with issues postpartum. Whereas in the past, I don't think there was anything that was advertised to be done. It was kind of like, this is normal, you know, go away, deal with it. You're changed. you know, that happens when you get pregnant. So I think things are changing. There's more awareness growing, which is great.
Yes.
I don't think everybody necessarily needs a 6-week check. I have seen people who do absolutely fine. However, I would advocate for a 6-week check for anybody who wanted to learn a little bit more about themselves, even if they weren't having any symptoms. And definitely if you're having any pelvic floor symptoms, any worries around your abdomen, back pain, problems with breastfeeding in terms of posture and things like that, come on in and get a six-week check. It's just worthwhile to have a chat.
Oh my gosh, it's so worth it.
Mm.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I want to ask a question about, this is the most, because lots of my friends have had C-section, so they say, oh, I don't need to get my pelvic yeah. floor checked then.
That's a common
because
one.
I've had a C-section. So please talk about that.
So I think the important thing to note about a C-section is you still were pregnant. So during pregnancy, you're growing a baby inside. Your body is accommodating for that baby. It's doing amazing things to grow this little being. And unfortunately, that does put stress on your pelvic floor. So the fact that you had this little bowling ball of a baby sitting on your pelvic floor for 9 months, all these changes in hormones happening throughout your body, and then you underwent a surgery, probably warrants a bit of a pelvic floor check if you're concerned. So we do know that there are still possibilities of having incontinence with a C-section. We know that the rates are still relatively high. We know that the rates of prolapse are still up there with a C-section as well. So it doesn't completely take you out of the risk group. Just being pregnant itself puts you at risk for pelvic floor problems as well. On top of that, we know that changes in your body during pregnancy can affect your sexual function as well sometimes, whether or not you have a vaginal delivery or a C-section. So C-section does not necessarily make you immune to pelvic floor issues.
Yeah, so a listener did say that she had a C-section. She's unable to have sex because she has
vaginismus, yes.
Vaginismus.
Yes. Very
what
close.
Is it again? Vaginismus.
Yeah.
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 So what is that?
So vaginismus is basically when the muscles around the pelvic floor spasm in response to an attempt at penetration, or sometimes it can actually be unprovoked as well. So it might be, you know, you're about to have intercourse, penetrative intercourse, and the muscles spasm so that the penis cannot actually enter the vagina. There are other cases as well where they might spasm without any sort of touching or anything down there. It really depends. You know, there's so many things after having a baby that change, and I think we're going to talk a little bit about that later.
Yes.
You know, we can hypothesize that there could have been also a result of a bit of pain from the C-section that could have caused those muscles to guard around the pelvic floor as well. But yeah, it, like you said, you know, C-section doesn't stop you from having problems.
Yeah, but is that a mental block or is it just physical?
It could be, and it could also be completely physical. So there's lots of studies around it. It brings up kind of a whole new can of worms if we go into vaginismus and sort of sexual dysfunction. We can treat vaginismus very much anatomically, but oftentimes we include a team. So we'll oftentimes include somebody to help with that kind of mental side, because even if there's not a mental side at the beginning, that can end up becoming something. So as you know, you can't have sex, you start to feel really guilty, or you can start to have emotions around that can kind of drive the physical response as well.
Is this common? Have you encountered?
It's quite common, yeah. And not
really?
Just common postpartum. This is actually a condition that can affect people in a very young age as well.
For me, it was all mental. I remember you saying you just need to go relax. And it was hard to, though. Like, even my legs were like, meh. And then my vagina was like, no, do not enter. I'm nervous. And so it took some time to just relax, lay there and relax, which now, yes, I'm good at that now. So
so if they come for, after 6 weeks, you know, they come for a pelvic floor check, and if there are problems, what typically would those problems be?
So
problems that can be cured, I mean, not
yeah.
something that's...
Yeah. So, I mean, if there's anything that we're really concerned about, we can always obviously send them off to the doctor. But general problems that we would deal with are things like diastasis recti, which I think we might talk about later.
Yes.
You know, incontinence problems. So like you mentioned, you know, maybe having a little leak when you cough or sneeze, maybe not making it to the toilet in time, having a leak when you put the key in the door, having increased frequency of urination. So needing to pee more frequently or feeling like you're not emptying when you pee. Sometimes we have the back passage as well. So we can have fecal incontinence, so leaking of stool, flatulence incontinence, so leaking of wind. We can also get people who come in with a lot of heaviness or feeling of something of coming down in the vagina. So prolapse, which is descent of the vaginal walls or the uterus.
Is this stupid? Like a prolapse, can you see?
So yeah, you can see it. So we would assess based on looking. You know, sometimes people do see things that look different and they'll come in and say, look, I had my husband look, or I looked with a mirror and it looked different. Yeah, things as well. We deal with like a lot of back pain issues. So low back pain, upper back pain, and then some pelvic pain as well. Pain with sex, or a lot of dryness with sex. And then we've got also some breast conditions that we do treat. So things like mastitis and blocked ducts.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
So we do.
Yeah, I know lots of people with mastitis. It sounds awful. I didn't know that you would help women with that as well. Amazing. Even more of a reason to go. Okay, so when you go to a visit, what do you do? I already know that, but, you know, dive deep into what you do.
Can I still go for a visit? Or am I, it's too late?
No, it's never too late. Absolutely never too late.
Really?
And we deal with women throughout their life stages. So we'll deal with young women, you know, who've never even thought about having a baby, to, I think the oldest I've ever seen was back in the UK. I think I saw someone who's 96.
Wow.
So, it really is never too late. And I encourage anybody who's thinking about it to, you know, just give us a ring.
I want to know how strong your pelvic floor is, Sharon.
I want to know too. So in a visit, I mean, I might as well explain it.
Yes.
So that you know what to expect.
Okay.
So you come in and we'll do a subjective assessment first. So we're just going to have a bit of a chat, learn a little bit about each other, you know, medical history, all the boring stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we do that, talk about your goals. And then based on whatever you want to do goal-wise, we'll either check your tummy or your pelvic floor or both. By checking your tummy, we are looking not only for any sort of diastasis, but we're also checking to make sure that you can activate appropriately, you understand how to breathe differently, you can control the pressure system in your abdomen. And then we'll probably just look quickly at your pelvis, make sure there's nothing external that we need to look at. And then we might do a pelvic floor exam. And the gold standard for a pelvic floor exam is to go digitally, so that's with a gloved finger, into the vagina. Now, there is another option, and that option is to use the ultrasound. And we have a real-time ultrasound unit that we'll use on the outside of the vagina, and that will give you a nice view of the pelvic floor, and we'll be able to see if you can activate and relax appropriately. With a digital vaginal exam, it's usually about 5 minutes, and it should be painless. And we basically are feeling to make sure that those muscles are all intact. We're checking to make sure the nerves are all intact. We're seeing what happens when you cough, when you push down, and then when you give us a nice big pelvic floor activation. And if you're not activating correctly at that point, we might give you some cues so that you can learn to activate better. And then we might give you a bit of homework, and that might be pelvic floor homework. It might be relaxation homework. It might be strengthening homework for your bum or your tum or otherwise.
Are there anything that you can use to quicken the exercises of strengthening your pelvic floor, like Kegel beads or Kegel trainer?
So a lot of people do like using tools. There are tools out there like the Kegel beads or Kegel weights and the trainer. If you are sure that you're knowing how to activate your pelvic floor correctly, those things can be useful for feedback because you can feel something there. Some people don't like having nothing there, and
yes,
then they're like, oh, am I actually doing it? Am I not doing it? I think with any sort of machine, you just have to make sure that you're doing it right to begin with. But they unfortunately don't speed up anything unless it means that you'll just be doing it more because you're more motivated. So some people find that having them there to see is actually a big motivator for them. And if we just gave them pelvic floor exercises by themselves, they wouldn't be too keen and they'd just forget.
You actually gave me an app.
Yes.
So it reminds me, even on my Apple Watch, would be like, ding, time for your squeeze. And even then I'm like, oh, ignore. I don't want to tell you that, but
no.
Now I do them. And Pilates, 100%, that is when my time for my pelvic floor exercises. Anyways, I want to ask about the ultrasound. You can see the transverse abdominals all working, which is your hug the baby muscles. If anybody does a lot of exercise, they tend to say that. It's your corset muscles. And I just want you to explain a little bit more about what that is, because I feel even just with exercise, people don't know what the transverse abdominals are, and it's very important.
So the easiest way for me to go about this is to sort of explain diastasis recti. If
okay. We'll jump into that.
So 100% basically of women, when they get pregnant, have stretch in their abdomen. And most of those women will have stretch across what's called the linea alba. And that's the middle part of your tummy. So if you think about a six-pack muscle, your six-pack muscles run down the front of your tummy. And then in between the two sides of the six-pack, you have a line of tissue. It's called the linea alba, which actually means white line, because it looks white when we dissect somebody, which we don't do in clinic, by the way. When you're pregnant, that line gets a little bit thinner and it also can get a little bit looser. And after you have the baby, usually the body within the first 9 weeks does an amazing job of kind of bringing things back together, helping you recover. The other thing that can help with that recovery and help to bring things together a little bit more is your transversus abdominis muscle. Now, there's some new research to say that in those first 9 weeks, constantly activating the transverse abdominis muscle might not actually be as helpful as we thought it was. But after that 9 weeks has kind of come up and our hormones have started to regulate a little bit differently, then we can see actually using the transversus can be really, really helpful. So just like you said, it is a corset muscle. So it kind of comes around the body. And if you can imagine how a corset tightens, it cinches in the waist and it kind of flattens in the front. And on top of that transversus, you've got your oblique muscles, and then you've also got your six-pack muscle in the center. And a lot of people, after they've had a baby, if they're unable to properly activate their transversus, tend to compensate by using their obliques or by using their six-pack. And what that does is it can end up putting pressures in different parts of the abdominal wall and actually leading to further stretch of the abdominal wall.
Oh, wow.
So what we do in the clinic is we actually will use the real-time ultrasound on the abdomen to just have a look deeper inside so that you can see and we can see if you're able to correctly activate the transversus abdominis.
That was my favorite part. Just knowing that you're doing it correctly, it's so important. Going and working out and you're kind of like, I hope I'm doing this right. Seeing that ultrasound, seeing me know how to activate even the deepest layers of that transverse abdominal is so great. And even just going for that is the best. On top of everything else, that was really important for me to know that I'm doing it correctly.
We have had men in the past, husbands have come in to have theirs checked as well.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, why not? To see if you're doing it right.
Yeah. And you'd be surprised, actually, there's a lot of people who have never had kiddos, including men, that are really overactive in a lot of their other muscles. And when they learn how subtle that activation is, they're amazed. So I think it's one of those muscle groups that it's really hard to know if you're doing it right. And it does work together with other muscle groups, but sometimes there can be problems. And that's what we see when we use the ultrasound.
Does this lead to lower back pain if you're not doing these things right? I know that that's such a big symptom after birth, and I have felt lower back pain. Is that because your body's not strong enough? What's the main reason behind that?
So I think with the lower back pain, it's really multifactorial. We've got the way that we hold the baby, the fact that we're doing a lot of bending over and lifting, the fact that we're tired, the fact that we are probably feeling a bit drained overall. Yes, of course, you know, not feeling like you have strength in your abs can affect how your back feels. You know, other muscles around the body will always compensate. But in terms of is it transversus abdominis, that's really debatable. So I think getting stronger and generally starting to exercise a little bit more and in a safe way and using your muscles correctly is really helpful for back pain. We know that from all of those studies. But just transversus abdominis, it's a bit debatable.
So if I want to just go back to our earlier question, if they didn't get a pelvic floor checked and they're already pregnant, and then they realize that they have a weak pelvic floor, is there anything to be done, or is it just bed rest as the gynae ordered?
No, absolutely. So if they find that maybe they're having leaking when they're sneezing, or, you know, they feel like they actually want to get their pelvic floor checked, it's still not too late in pregnancy. So it's not contraindicated. It's not allowed to have a pelvic floor check in pregnancy. We wouldn't be using the ultrasound over the abdomen, of course, because we're not going to be looking for baby and we're not going to be trying to get those transversus working the same way. But we would be able to do a digital vaginal exam if it's after 12 weeks and the pregnancy is low risk. If you are moderate to high risk, we tend to avoid those exams. But we can get you to do, you know, certain exercises that are good for you during that pregnancy for your pelvic floor. And we can really help you understand what it is to activate, what it is to relax, so that when it gets to that stage in your, you know, pregnancy where you're going to head into labor and you need to push, you know what it feels like to let go. And that's really, really important.
So it's not too late.
It's never too
late. Even you're already pregnant and you realize you have a weak pelvic floor and you have to have bed rest for the next 4 months before the baby gets here, there are exercises that they can do.
Yeah, absolutely. I always say check with your obstetrician first. You know, your obstetrician knows your pregnancy medically the best. And if they're happy for you to come see us or if they're happy for you to start doing some exercise, then absolutely, no problems.
We had someone that had an incompetent cervix. Is that related to pelvic floor? She wanted me to ask you.
Yeah. No, that's not related to pelvic floor. So that would be a different issue. But I wish her all the best.
So I'm going to talk about sex after birth. For me, I was really, really nervous. And we spoke about this and I had to relax and it was all mental for me. And now I'm orgasming stronger than ever. It's amazing. I'm like, whoa, I orgasmed well before, but now it's just next level. Why is that?
So I think first I'll talk about how sex can be uncomfortable for certain people after delivery and the reasons for that. So estrogen, prolactin, and oxytocin levels, they can mimic almost like a mini menopause for the first kind of 2 months after you have the baby. And every time you breastfeed the baby, you do get a little bit more oxytocin, which unfortunately decreases libido, but it does help you bond with the baby. So it's still very, very important. And these happen even with a C-section. So, you know, it's not just a vaginal delivery problem. And I think there's also that aspect, like you said, kind of that mental, but also that kind of just psychological aspect of less sleep, you know, feeling just a little bit low, change in partner dynamics, you know, your roles have changed and your body confidence might be different. You're nursing the baby, so you're getting a lot of human touch elsewhere. You're busy. You know, the last thing a lot of people are thinking about at that time is let's, you know, go and be romantic. So all of these things, so those hormonal changes, you know, all the changes in environment and relationships can affect how sex feels. And for a lot of women, after they've had a baby, the first times they have sex, they might feel a little bit dry down there. And that's why we often recommend a very good quality lubricant. But following, you know, that first kind of 2 to 3 months, oftentimes people find a bit more rhythm with their new baby, you know, with their husband, they might be developing a little bit better confidence. And then, like you said, some women develop even better relationships with their genitals because that area has been through a lot.
Yes.
And you've had to actually pay attention to it. Whereas in the past, you might have only paid attention to it on the odd occasion.
Right.
It's now become something that you've actually, you know, done something about. And for you, you are also using your pelvic floor muscles a little bit more. And when you learn to relax and activate your pelvic floor more, sometimes that can lead to better orgasms. So
amazing. So I really did feel, I'm trying to think, do you say wait X amount of time before trying? Is there
the general consensus is usually waiting about 6 weeks, and that's more just to allow the tissues to heal. But I have had patients who have waited less, and I've had patients who've waited a lot longer. It really depends on how you're feeling, and I think it's important not to force yourself into anything that you're not ready for.
Yeah, I think I said to Matt,
physical,
I
hope my fit. Yeah, but it may not just be physical, right? It may be mental, where we talked about this.
100%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So how do you get past that?
Well, you have to know, for me, you have to learn. I just knew that I was stressed and my vagina and my legs were like seizing up. And I knew that I needed to use like breath work and have foreplay with Matt to relax. Like, that's what we did.
I think we often suggest things like sensate touching. So not necessarily going straight to penetration and maybe not even doing penetration at all, but finding intimacy in other ways to regain that sense of yourself before feeling like you have to, you know, especially if you're worried about the penetrative aspect or you've had discomfort from it before, you know, maybe working more externally versus just going internally.
I'm just going to go right in there. But so certain things, first of all, the lube that you told me about, I've raved about. I've posted on my Instagram the amount of people that tap, thousands of people tap is the most, right? Because I get to see how many people tap to see who I've tagged. That is 100% the most tapped thing every time I post it. So people are, you know, wanting to hear about this. We used that lube. It was a lifesaver because I think breastfeeding, you become drier, I suppose.
The tissues become a little more sensitive and there is changes down there.
But I mean, it is such a big issue, sex after birth, right? Who do they go talk to? Do they go talk to a sex therapist? Do they go talk to their gynae? Do they come talk to you? You know, it's unspoken, and it's not out there to say, look, if you're feeling this, you can go come talk to us. So most of women, after, if they feel, that all they do is they go ask the gynae and say, is it safe? Can we have sex now? That's basically what it is, right? Yeah. But if you do have problems, how do we handle that?
So I always say the best thing for you to do is, if you're comfortable and you have friends and support networks, talk to them about their experience.
I think,
so it may be moms groups, or if you did any antenatal groups, or anyone that you're comfortable to talk with, because I think the first step with all of this is knowing you're not alone, because I think it can feel really lonely when you first realize, actually, this doesn't feel great. And then if you wanted to go see someone else, you want to see a professional, absolutely, a physio would be, a great stop for you.
Yeah.
If you want to see your gynae, you're comfortable with that. If you've had a doula or a midwife that has been following you, or maybe even like your GP or your doctor, and they could suggest a lubricant for you. They could suggest other alternatives.
You can DM me on Instagram. I'll give you... I do want to share, though, certain things that you can do. This isn't professional advice. But first of all, just click... masturbate by yourself when you're, alone, relaxed. If that's something that you do, that might help. Get your partner to do it. I remember quite soon after birth, I did to play with my clit because I needed that, release. I suppose I'm stressed, blah, 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 but I didn't want to have sex yet. Those were certain things. Also, when we were about to have sex on the lead up, we used lube and just acted as though we were having sex, but not having sex, if that makes sense. and we did that quite often until I was then ready for the real deal.
I think
so. It took like a lot of little things to build up to that moment.
I think also knowing that, postpartum sex isn't always bad. You said, actually postpartum sex sometimes is wonderful and it will get better. And if it's not feeling great right at the beginning, just have the confidence to know that you will get support if you look for it. We're out there. There's also psychosexual counselors as well. So specialist counselors who work, especially if you had any sort of birth trauma, other stuff that you're dealing with, super, super helpful people to go and see. And your GP should be able to help direct you into, who's around in your area for that. But sex post-birth, I think we just need to talk about it more.
Yeah.
I think the first step with all of this is just being able to go to someone and be like, hey, what was it like for you?
Yeah. And, I think everyone's just
a bit different. We're all a bit different. I think especially Asian women, or maybe the younger generation, you tend to talk about it more with, if you have a group, rather than more on a public forum. And then I'm assuming that, you hang out with people that you're close to and therefore you're of the same.
But I think lots of people still don't even share it. And they're just, oh yeah, it's non-existent at the moment, and then move on, but really underlying there's probably certain issues of being really fucking nervous and, all of those things. That's why I've been so open and so many people message me and we talk about it. I send voice notes to random people I don't even know to help them with getting back to having sex again. So, always speak up or listen to us talk about it and hopefully you can get a few ideas on how to make...
And who to go to, I guess.
And who to go to.
So if you needed professional help, then there are a lot of, people that you could go to.
Yeah, it was nice to talk to you about it.
Yeah, I mean, we are here as pelvic health physios, absolutely. And like I said, your GP probably has some suggestions as well. Any sort of trusted health professional that you feel comfortable going to just say, hey, this is happening. Is there anything that you think that I could do? Then, you'll get directed into the right place. Just remember, everyone's different, right? So everyone's going to have a different sex drive. Everyone's going to have different wants and needs. And I think communication with your partner, if you're worried about something, going to see a professional. But if you don't want to have sex right away, that's okay. Take your time. There's no issues at all with, not starting sex right after your 6 weeks.
Oh, absolutely. For me, it comes in ebbs and flows. Some days I'm like, yes. Other days, get away from me. And it's still... So listen to your body and what you want. All right, I have another question. I did go somewhere. I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to name where I went, but they weren't specialists. They told me I had 4 cm. How do I say it?
Diastasis recti.
Yes.
Yeah.
I still can never get it right. DR. And then my pelvic floor was weak or whatever. And so they were trying to sell a package. The two things that they were doing was the ab, they put, I don't even know how to explain that. They put like pads on you and I think it tenses up your abs. And then also this chair that you sit on that you can feel your pelvic floor working, it's making you do the exercise. I knew, because I had seen you, that my DR wasn't 4 centimeters, it was 1, and yeah, I was kind of annoyed by it, and I actually left, and I messaged you about it.
But who are they? I mean, are they professionals, or...
They were not professionals.
But what, there must be something for you to go there to see. Are they PT, or, I mean, what?
No, she was a yoga teacher.
Okay.
Okay, anyways, not a specialist.
So you wouldn't ask a yoga teacher about your pelvic floor, would you?
No, and you shouldn't, or your DR.
And they shouldn't even try to answer that, just like we wouldn't, because we don't know enough.
Lots of personal trainers, though, probably can tell. I would trust them, but I would still go see a professional to check it, as it's so important to me.
So I think with any of these things, especially when it's your body, it is important if there's concerns about your body that you go and get it checked with a professional, a healthcare professional who's registered, not just, you know, somebody that you see in the street. I think the other thing just to note with that is these are new technologies that are coming out, and they might be, you know, much wider use in the near future. But at the moment, from what I'm aware of, they're quite expensive, and the research is very, very limited on it. So we don't really actually know too much about the long-term effects and actually if they're that efficient. So I think the important thing is maybe we stick to the stuff that is guided by a professional for rehab. You know, we always want the quick fixes, but I'd always suggest...
In life, that's everyone, right? They always want a quick fix.
Absolutely.
Doesn't exist! You have to put the work in, even with your pelvic floor exercises.
Yeah. Yeah. One day they'll invent a pill for fitness, but for now...
No, because then my husband will be out of a job. There will be no pill for that, please.
For now, I think if anyone has any concerns, you know, abdominal-wise, pelvic floor-wise, I'd highly suggest you go and see a healthcare professional.
Because you can have an overactive pelvic floor.
Absolutely.
Which means if you're doing those kind of things, you're...
Detrimental. Yeah.
But just bare basics, right? If we had a regular birth, things are back to normal, and we just continue to do our pelvic floor exercises, that's okay too.
Absolutely fine.
Unless we feel that there is a problem, then we should just go check, right? Like you mentioned, the signs were if you feel like something is pulling down.
Yeah, if you feel like...
What are the signs that we need to look out for before we seek help from a professional?
So certain things like if you're feeling something coming down in the vagina, if you feel something heavy or something bulging, some pulling in the lower abdomen, low back pain, mid back pain, upper back pain, if you think you might have something going on with your abdomen, if you're worried about your abdomen, if you are having leaking from the front or the back passage, if you're having any problems with sexual intercourse, whether that's pain, discomfort or otherwise, whether you're having changes in your bladder, such as increased urgency, increased frequency, and if you're feeling like you're having some constipation or struggling with emptying your bowel movements as well. Those are all things that you could come to see either a physio or a GP about.
That's a lot.
And I feel mothers, because especially new mums, you get so busy and you just get on with it and you really neglect yourself. Like, yes. I'll get emotional about it because I had a breakdown. That was when Thea was a newborn, but of course it's a million different hormones. You're not really paying attention to yourself because everything is going to your newborn baby. So you might not think you have these problems because you're probably not even listening to your body and you're maybe ignoring that you have those issues. Every mum I meet, even though I know them, stood there looking absolutely exhausted because I think that's just what they're supposed to say.
No. I think as mums, we forget, right?
Yeah.
You think this is norm. Of course you have to do all this work because now you have another baby, you have someone very precious. So you forget all that. We talked about this too, Bri. Yeah. You forget how hard it was because you just concentrate on the happier things that happen. So we don't give
ourselves... I even do that too.
Yeah. We don't give ourselves enough time or attention to check up on ourselves, I guess. That's why I wanted to know, you know, some of the basics or what are the signs that to tell us that, okay, things are not quite normal. Let's go check out. Otherwise, continue your Kegel exercises to strengthen your pelvic floor after birth. Because not everyone's going to have problems. And so let's not make it out that, hey, it is a problem. The reason why I want to make sure that it is a problem before we start sending everybody to go get their pelvic floor checked, because when I lived in the US and I would stay home and watch those TV shows, I feel like I need every single pill that they were selling on TV because I have that issue. I have that. And which means I'll end up buying every single drug that they were selling on, what do you call those shopping TV
Why
shop?
Why are you watching
that? I don't know.
I'm not judging you because you watch those stupid shows.
I know. So, but you know, you actually end up thinking, oh my goodness, I have that issue. I have this. So, you know, I need that. So let's also just put it in perspective. That's why I asked. Summarize for me. Hey, what are the issues that you start looking into before you go see a professional? I'm sure I have pelvic floor issues, but I didn't go see a professional.
Yeah. But I think every female, even if you haven't given birth and you're not pregnant, I wish I did it before, I wish I knew that this existed, should see a women's physiotherapist to check everything. Like I said, yes, you can go if you've got those certain things, by all means, please go. But to see that you're working your certain muscles and your pelvic floor, that's just amazing. Yes. It's important to just pay that fee, that consultation fee, just to know that you're doing that exercise correctly on top of all the other things that you might be
feeling. Not necessarily just the exercise, but to get your pelvic floor checked, because we talked about this, about
everyone
getting a fertility check as well. For women, it's all part of your health check, I think.
Yeah,
I think that's what it should be. We should try and include, you know, to be healthy, to be ready for what our body is supposed to take care of, you know.
Yeah. Do you find people coming in super, I mean, the condition's quite bad because they've just left it, because they've not even been thinking about it?
I think with a lot of the people that I see later on, after the symptoms have started, it's because, like you said, you get busy, you know, you have other priorities, and that's totally okay. I think the thing with these conditions is they're generally not life-threatening, and if you're not ready to deal with them, that's fine. Come when you're ready.
Yes.
Just know that we're available for you when you feel like you're concerned and you want to come in and chat with us.
Yeah.
It's definitely not something I have to push on everybody. If you're feeling like, look, there's other stuff I'm worried about right now, it's okay. Because there is work, like you said, you know? It's not going to be coming in and then, oh, quick fix, done. Oftentimes there's a little bit of work that's involved in some of the rehab as well. And if you're feeling like that's not your priority, then it's absolutely fine.
Perfect.
Yeah, Fran, I want to say thank you so much. I rave about you to everyone.
Thank you.
You truly helped in my postpartum journey, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm seriously, why am I still emotional? I blame the hormones. I'm about to get all emotional again. But you really did, right? You helped me with so many things, so thank you. And I hope this helps
a lot of our mums out there.
Please DM us and tell me that you went to Fran or anyone here that's a physio for women. Go, and let me know how you get on with it. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Fran. No, thank you for joining us.
I just want to quickly mention at the end that if anybody does have questions, you know, if anybody is concerned about anything, if something that we've talked about today has been triggering for anyone, definitely go and speak to your trusted healthcare practitioner. I think, you know that there is support out there. Don't hold back. We are available to you. So, yeah.
We'll get you back on with everybody's questions, because I feel there's going to be a list of questions for you. So I hope we can do that someday.
Thanks so much.
No, thank you.
It
was great.
We hope you enjoyed that episode as much as we did. Fran is incredible. And if you're based in Singapore, do go to Physio Down Under and get an appointment. Whether you're not pregnant, pregnant, or after birth, it is vital that you see a women's health physiotherapist. It's so important. Thank you for listening to the Making of Motherhood podcast. Find us on Instagram, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And support us by following and subscribing. We would so appreciate that. We want to reach as many mamas as possible. Be sure to check out our other episodes, and new episodes are coming your way. Thanks, guys.